everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, I'm John Batstra. My good colleague Bob Zimmerman is here. We've got successes in all directions from private enterprise and some observations about astronomy and planetary geology. Bob is here, however, to begin us with a success. Bob, what is Axiom and what has happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Axiom is a private commercial space station company. They are developing their own proposed space station, which they will initially dock with ISS and eventually, once assembled, separate and fly independently. In the interim, while they're doing this, they're also flying commercial manned tourist passenger missions to ISS. They've done three previously. They have now done their fourth. I should point out that they hired SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket and its Dragon manned capsules to do these missions. So this is also jointly worked with SpaceX. Axiom, though, this week finally launched its fourth mission to ISS on a new Dragon manned capsule. This is the fifth in SpaceX's fleet. Its name has now been released. It's called Grace. Which is a different name than all the others in style. It launched early this week and then docked a day later at ISS. The crew is made up of Commander Peggy Whitson, a former NASA astronaut who now works for Axiom as their professional astronaut to command missions. And it carried with it three passengers, three government astronauts, one from Poland, one from India, and a third from Hungary. All three were, they paid approximately $70 million each, the governments, to put these astronauts on the spacecraft and on ISS. They'll be there for about 2 weeks, and then they'll come home. Landing will depend upon weather at the lands at the splashdown point, probably in the Gulf of Mexico or in the Atlantic Ocean, but we'll see where they land. They could also land, of course, off of California's coast. But they'll be there for 2 weeks. This is their fourth mission. Axiom plans more if they can do it.
Who's making money, Bob?
That's a good question. Axiom makes some money from this, obviously. I hope they do. They shouldn't be losing money on these missions. SpaceX makes, I'm sure, the bulk of the cash because they do the launch and they provide the capsule. But, you know, it goes between the two. Now, I should say that Axiom has to also pay NASA a great deal of very expensive rental costs to use ISS. NASA, during the Biden administration, increased the fees to use ISS on these tourist missions by about 700%.
Yes.
Which is, to my mind, is highway robbery. It's one of the reasons that the SpaceX manned commercial missions don't dock with ISS, because they don't want to pay those fees.
Are we watching a transition of ISS into a hotel tourist attraction?
No, not particularly. I mean, it's been used for that a few times, but it's not. Remember, first of all, it's going away. It's going to be deorbited sometime around 2030. The private space stations will probably be focused in much more in that context. But ISS, it'll be used for this, I'm sure, on a few more flights. I know that VAST, one of the other space station companies, wants to fly tourist missions there, just like Axiom. Both are doing this to demonstrate their capabilities for a space station for a number of reasons, one of which is to convince NASA to give them a big contract. But I don't see ISS as becoming a tourist facility. Not it's a government-run operation.
Bob, a war between Mexico and Musk? What's happened?
Well, this began a week ago or so. The governor of the bordering state to Boca Chica, Texas, in Mexico complained about the contamination being dumped on its beaches from the debris from a super heavy splashdown in the Gulf of Mexico in the 10th flight, the last flight of test flight of Super Heavy and Starship, and said we should do have investigations and take legal action against this terrible contamination. And this week, the president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, she chimed in with her own statement that they are investigating this contamination and they're considering taking legal action against SpaceX for poisoning the beaches of Mexico. Well, it's kind of absurd because the Mexican citizens that live along the beaches, they immediately gathered up that debris and were selling it on social media for a profit or collectibles. And they were not complaining in the slightest. Plus, my own readers on Behind the Black have noted two very interesting facts about Mexico. One, their beaches are a mess with junk and trash, so this is not really contaminating their beach very significantly. And secondly, Mexico has no problem at all dumping raw sewage into the Gulf of Baja and the Pacific Ocean, poisoning our own facilities. So, you know, tit for tat, they want to come after us. Boy, we're going to come back after them much harder. This has to do, of course, with politics. Most of the articles I've read about this in the American press are designed mostly to trash Musk and SpaceX, not because there's any real contamination going on, but because he happened to support a Republican, and the press, this propaganda press, isn't interested in reporting. It's interested in propaganda.
I remember, though, the boosters that drop on the Chinese citizens out of the inland launch have hypergolic fuel.
You had it right, John. Hypergolic fuel will dissolve your skin if it touches you.
And is that SpaceX? Does it use that fuel?
Of course. Well, hypergolic fuel is used in some situations, usually by the Attitude jets, but SpaceX, as far as I know, SpaceX does not use it.
Okay.
It's Attitude jets generally use nitrogen, at least on the Falcon 9. I'm not sure what they use on Super Heavy, but I would suspect very strongly that there's no contamination of any significance going on
here. All right, France is in the game. What have they done, Bob?
This is a private company called the Exploration Company in France. It's a startup, and it's attempting to build a freighter, an unmanned freighter that would go to and from the space stations for cargo delivery, and they call it Nix. And they've done two test flights of smaller-scale prototypes, and they have had mixed results from those two tests. The first one really couldn't fly or do anything at all because it was flown on the first launch of the Ariane 6 rocket, Europe's rocket, and the upper stage was unable to relight its engine for a variety of reasons, and that meant that the capsule couldn't be released and do its deorbit as planned. That was the test. So it couldn't do its test. The second flight went up on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. That all worked fine. It was deployed. It began its deorbit process as planned, and they were able to get a lot of data as it came down. But just before splashdown, they lost communication. And they haven't said why. There are some hints it might have had to do with parachute release, but we don't know that. So they had a partial success with this flight. They had planned their next test flight to be a full-scale Nix capsule doing a test flight, but there's now some hints they might do a refly of this smaller prototype to figure out what went wrong. We'll have to wait and see. This is a company, like a lot of European new startups, that are trying to bring commercial capitalism to Europe rather than have a government-run program, and I wish them luck.
My new favorite rocket program, Rocket Lab. They're winning attention everywhere, including some money. The ESA, what do they want?
I just want to make it clear, this is not a program, John. It's a private company. Rocket Lab this is a significant launch contract. They want a launch contract from the European Space Agency to put up, on a single launch, two test satellites of a SmallSat GPS system constellation. Europe has its own Galileo constellation of GPS satellites, but this is a test of using SmallSats in low orbit to do the same kind of thing. And it's going to go up on a Rocket Lab, an American rocket. And what's significant about this contract, not only is Rocket Lab proving itself to be able to get things done on schedule, which is one of the reasons they won the contract, But it indicates the failure of the government-run launch system in the European Space Agency, Arianespace. Arianespace has two rockets, the Ariane 6 and the Vega C rockets. Both are too expensive. Both have cannot schedule launches on time. And so the European Space Agency was forced to go to an American company to get this done. This just indicates, once again, the absolute desperate need Europe has for private companies, startups, to begin launching rockets, because the government rocket system is just not working.
Remind me, Bob, Rocket Lab, is that the one that can launch from Wallops, or is it...
It can launch from both Wallops Island in Virginia, off the coast of the United States. It has one launch pad there, and it also intends to launch its neutron rocket, its bigger neutron rocket, hopefully before the end of this year. That's a new rocket, compete with SpaceX, larger size. And they have two launch pads in New Zealand, which they use mostly. So they have flexibility to launch in many different ways.
And do they have reusable either now or in future?
Not in the future. Neutron will be significantly reusable, even more reusable than the Falcon 9. The Electron rocket is not reusable. They tried some reusability tests, did reuse an engine, but they have put that aside to focus on building the new rocket.
That's the art form. That's why SpaceX is in the lead, that reusability, especially for its big stuff. All right, the Germans are in the game. What are they up to?
Yeah, this is one of those rocket startups in Europe that Germany, Italy, Spain, and France are all trying to get going. And the German rocket startup is called ISAR Aerospace. They attempted in March their first launch. Their Spectrum rocket failed at 30 seconds after launch, crashed into the ocean. It launched from Norway. But they're still moving forward. They have now secured $174 million in financing. And what's interesting about this financing is it comes from an investment firm based in Miami. So even though this is a German rocket startup trying to build its rocket, it apparently, in order to get cash, couldn't find any European investors interested in putting the money in. So they came to the United States. What that also suggests, based on the nature of the deal, is that some ownership rights of this German company could shift to the United States with time. That's interesting for a lot of reasons. Maybe they're looking to pull in American business eventually, military business as well, so they put a base in the United States. But it also indicates, once again, Europe's mixed feelings about private enterprise, and it indicates their failures in Europe because they're so reluctant to do this.
Now, French Guiana. Now, this is a program, right, Bob? French Guiana.
No, this is private enterprise in a government-run spaceport. So it's both. Latitude is a French rocket startup, kind of like ISAR, but they're not as well advanced. They haven't done any test flights yet. They have signed a deal with the French Space Agency that now runs French Guiana to use a launch pad facility at French Guiana. The French Space Agency, CNES, it is turning into a long-abandoned space launch site that was used in the 60s for a French rocket then, but has been abandoned for decades. They are now changing that into a commercial launch site. And already one other company, PLD, a Spanish startup rocket company, has already started building and planning a launch there. Well, Latitude now has committed $9 million plus to develop its own facilities at this same launch pad. It appears there's going to be some standardization of operations for the multiple companies that will use this launch pad, but we're not sure exactly how much. But Latitude is interesting, too, because they were originally going to make their first launch from the British Saxiford launch pad in the Shetland Islands, and they've now shifted to say they're going to make this first launch from French Guiana. There's a lot of reasons why that might be happening. They're a French company, French Guiana, it's French-run. They probably got some benefits from that. They also probably looked at the regulatory burdens in the UK that slowed things down and decided, well, let's avoid that and go elsewhere.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.